Podcasting 2.0 for December 3rd, 2021, episode 64. Dave's not here, man. Well, at least that was what happened last week. Learned a lot from that. Hello, everybody. Time once again for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. When we talk about all things going on at podcastindex.org, the podcast namespace, and of course, the genius development, the blue light at night, the hovering creativity over at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the steam locomotive of development, my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
What's the etymology of the phrase, I'm fixing to?
I'm fixing? You know?
Yeah, like I'm fixing to submit this app to the Umbral table.
I think immediately I'm thinking covered wagon. I'm making a chuck stew. I'm fixing to make some dinner.
Chuck stew.
could it be that?
Hey, Cookie. Whip us up some grub, Cookie.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fixing to throw this mask in the trash because I'm so sick of this crap. I don't know where that came from. What's the other one? Oh, all get out. These have got to be Southern phrases.
Oh, it must be.
I'm tired as all get out. What does that even mean?
I don't use that one myself, so I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah.
But Dave, first things first.
Stuff, yeah.
First things first, man. We missed you. We missed you. We missed the board meeting. We missed you. It was a ghost town at podcastindex.social. No one was doing anything. It was like everything just stopped. Dave's not here, man. All right, it's all done.
We gave everybody permission to take the week off.
Is that what happened?
It's a sabbatical. It's after a year and a half, everybody gets a sabbatical.
How was your vacation? You went to
that was great.
You went to Universal or did Universal?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Orlando. Uh-huh. Yeah, Universal Studios, Orlando. We had never been, and we had planned this trip We had planned to send my kids, my oldest is, she's 20, and then I've got a 20-year-old and 18-year-old. Mm. And so for sort of like a combo senior thing, and just they're old enough, and we were going to give them this gift for Christmas of, we're really close to Orlando, you know, to Florida, so you can drive. It's very drivable.
Right.
So we were like, okay, we're going to give y'all this trip. And we bought them some tickets to Universal, and then they were going to go. And this was in December of 2019.
And so they
got the tickets and everything. And then like by the time they seriously, before school was out, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so they never, the whole thing fell apart. And then, so we were like, well, why don't we haven't personally been on a family vacation in about 3 years. So we went. They were like, let's just do it all together. So we all went, and it was, man, we had a blast. It was,
oh, nice.
Oh, it was so fun. And I can tell you this, as far as COVID goes, Florida does not care about COVID anymore. They have just forgotten that whole thing even exists.
They also have the lowest case positivity rate in the nation. Interestingly enough.
Well, I can tell you this, it ain't because of masks, because I didn't see them. I saw maybe a grand total of 100 masks the entire week that we were there.
Packed
in like sardines.
Do the parks there, do they make you put on the RFID bracelet?
No, that's Disney.
Disney only?
Yeah, this is Universal Studios, so they really don't have anything like that. Oh, yeah. No, it was great.
Oh, good.
I rode roller coasters that I'm too old to ride. And,
but you're tall enough.
Myself. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great, man. We had a good time. Yeah, it was just nice to be away for a while and focus, you know, because my 20-year-old, she moved out of the house 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, is she in school?
So, well, she's still in town here, but she's just like, you know, I'm out of here. I want to have dudes
come over and hang out and party.
Shh, man, stop.
Mine's 31, Dave. I get to do this for you for a long time.
I didn't ask for that. I'm trying not to think about these kinds of things.
Well, I'm serious though, man. We really miss you. You know, you're such a driving force behind everything that people should be boosting this show right now.
Boost!
To get Dave out of his current employment. We need you full time, man. We need you full time.
Anyway, yeah, but I somehow got the Umbrel app done or released.
Okay, first of all, the Umbrel app is Helipad, and Helipad is a very exciting piece of software Dave has been working on. And that is so that you can read boostergrams. If you're using an Umbrel, you can read the boostergrams as they come in, accompanied by a little pew. In fact, I think I must have that pew. Yeah, I got to have the pew somewhere. So it's just one of these little pew. That's basically it. And then you know that there's a new boostergram, and it's been fantastic. Because I've been running it for, I think, 2 weeks now, maybe? Which shows
do you have it hooked up to?
So I have with Adam Curry, and I released an episode with Texas Slim. So that all goes to that node. 5% of, what is it? I have a small split just, you know, for testing. Oh, the MoFax. So I can get the boostergrams in the studio. And then I have a small split on the No Agenda feed, which, that all goes to the index anyway. So I can get the No Agenda boost, which people are boosting unrequested, which is kind of cool.
That is cool, because I see those go through sometimes when somebody will do an all parties boost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see them and I'm like, They're sending boostergrams with messages, and that I guess they don't realize that nobody can see them, maybe they don't care.
I can see them now, so now I can see them. I got a really cool I had a great experience actually. I'm sorry. Do you mind if I just divert for a second, and then we'll come back to Helipad? And
I would love for you to tell me about your great experience, please. Continue.
I started a new podcast. Completely fresh, podcasting 2.0. So only submitted to Podcast Index. It will be only value for value. It's Curry and the Keeper.
Guaranteed not to be in the Apple top podcast list of 2022.
It was definitely not. And it was really an interesting experience because we launched it. I tried to add it through my Podpring script, but I guess that doesn't have the right Hive juice or whatever.
We don't pick it up directly. Chris picks that up and then circles it back around.
Is that why it was in there twice?
That is because there's two routes to all of your feeds. All of your feeds have two possible URLs. They can all go through mp3s.nationals.com or feeds.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, so we launch, and then, I post on Twitter and No Agenda Social, and a number of people immediately said, oh, it's not on my podcast app yet. Wow, what an opportunity. Oh, it's okay, because it probably won't be, because it's not podcasting 2.0 compatible. And go to newpodcastapps.com. So we onboarded a lot of people, but also right away, within minutes of release, we see sats coming in. We see boostergrams coming in.
Nice.
And that gives you such a satisfactory experience. It's like, man, people are listening to it right now. I mean, this is what, on the radio, you wanted to know. Is anyone out there? Is anyone listening? And you know it. You know that someone's literally listening at that moment, and then they send stuff back. I even got a note from Stephen B. from CurioCaster. He's like writing the whole story to me in a boostergram. So it was a great experience. We're going to keep it all 2.0. We do it on the alternate weeks when I do MoFax.
Cool. I haven't listened to it. I'm eager to listen to it. I've heard that Tina is a natural born podcaster.
Oh my God. I hooked her up. I set her up on the Bill Hellman, I think. He gave me a Neumann TLM 103.
That's expensive microphone. Right?
Yes, that's like $900 or something. It's a crazy ass mic. And for Tina, this thing is made for her. See, for me, it's like... I'm spitting all over this thing. But she likes to, I'm a DJ guy, right? So I'm blasting into the pipe in front of my face. And she's kind of like moving around a little bit. And that mic sounds so good, man. Ah,
is that a condenser?
Yeah.
Oh wow, so it's just real. It's real sensitive then.
Yeah, but it's and okay. In fact, I don't have a windscreen, so she dug up a pantyhose from 1998, I think. and we cut off, you know, cut off a toe.
cut off a toe
and then put it up over the mic.
That's funny.
Sheathed the $1,000 mic. And then, so that was such a good experience because of Helipad. Because we're, and it reminds me of the movie. I sent that to you.
Oh yeah. What was the name of that? Middlemen.
Middlemen. Yes. The guys who started the very first, credit card processing company for porn sites. It's a great movie.
Heard of this movie.
Oh, you have to watch this movie. It's a great movie. So there's this, I'll put it in the show notes. There's this scene. And they set it up where, you know, okay, so people are going to and they're in a shitty ass apartment. They're drunk. They're doing coke. It's like, it's a real mess. But they have this buzzer hooked up. So every single time someone uses a transaction, which was like, you know, it's like 10 bucks for them or something, some outrageous amount.
$9.99.
Yeah. A buzzer would go. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the night, it's like, burr, burr, burr. And that's exactly the experience with the, it's like, oh, I'm like, Sydney, listen to this baby. Hey, oh my God. People are, they're listening. They love us. We're popular. We're famous.
We're popular. You just need different, you know, we just need different ones. Like they did in the movie where you like different kinds of porn.
Exactly.
Alerts.
Yeah. Yes.
You
okay.
You get a pew for a boost and you get boost. You get the Kyle Hebert full thing if you get a boostergram or something.
Yeah. And if it's above, 10,000 sats, we do something else. You get like,
you get the baller.
Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
It's super fun. In fact, we were, I got a Windows update and I had to reinstall drivers and then my monitor wouldn't go on. And while we're doing all this, I hear from the kitchen, I hear pew. I'm like, yeah, baby. I may be frustrated with the gear right now, but pew away. That's great. Okay. So that's what Helipad is. That's the excitement of Helipad. You can run it on Umbral, right? It only runs on Umbral or with this thing. Can you also install it on other?
It'll run anywhere. It's standalone. So there's instructions on there how to run it. You can run it like three different ways. You can run it on an Umbral, either a PC based Umbral or the Raspberry Pi Umbral. You can run it just as a straight Docker image. There's an image, the Docker image for it is on Docker Hub.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look in, if you look in the repo, you'll see reference to the image. And then you can just do a Docker run there. Or you can just download and compile the binaries yourself.
It just needs a macaroon access to your node. Is that it?
Yeah. So if you run it on the Umbral, it has a lot of fallbacks so that it tries to run. What it wants to do is run on Umbral first. So it wants to assume that it's running on an Umbral device. And in that mode, it's going to look for a environment variable called lnd_url, and that's going to be the full fully qualified domain name of your Lightning node, colon the port number, which is always 10,009. So then if it doesn't see that environment variable, that's what it wants for the environment, but if it doesn't see it, I believe it falls back to localhost. Assuming it's running on the same device as the Lightning node. It also wants the macaroon, the admin.macaroon, and the tls.cert. It wants to find those two things. And for people who don't know a lot about Lightning, so the macaroons are the permission system for accessing the APIs that are built into a Lightning node. So if you access any part of a Lightning Node API that has restrictions on it, you're going to need a macaroon. So you can have like a read-only macaroon. You can have a full admin god mode. You can have, and there's lots. You can just set up, you can bake what they call bake a macaroon that has all these, that has your set permission levels in it. Save that thing to a file. Then you send that macaroon along with your API requests, and that's what allows you to do those things.
Right.
So that so it's looking by default for an admin.macaroon, and it's going to look for it in the natural umbral LND path for that, which is some long path. Then it's also going to look for the TLS.cert, and that's different from permissions. This is security. Encryption.
Mm-hmm.
So the admin.macaroon gives you permission to access the API. The TLS.cert is your transport layer security that encrypts the communication so that nobody can man in the middle you or eavesdrop. So it needs both of those files. It expects them to both be in the exact places that they are on an umbral by default. If they're not, if it doesn't find them there, it'll look for them in the directory that you're running helipad from. So it'll fall back. So by default, it wants all the stuff to be set up to run in an umbral environment. If that's not the case, then all you have to do is just set that environment variable if you're going to be accessing something. Like, let's just say that your node is running in over on voltage. You would set your LND_URL environment variable to the URL of your voltage lightning node.
Mm.
Then you would go to your voltage dashboard, save that admin.macaroon and the TLS.cert to the folder where you downloaded and compiled helipad. Then you can just run it. And then everything works.
That's pretty cool. You put all those fallbacks in there so everybody can use it, not just Umbral users. Quite a bit of extra work, it sounds like.
Well, one thing that frustrates me, and I'm sure many, many people, is that you find a piece of software a lot of times that'll work for you, and it's not flexible. It has these sort of hard requirements. That says, you're going to have to do things this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's just annoying, you know, and you want to be able to,
I hear that.
You don't want to jump through a whole lot of hoops. So you want to be able to just say, okay, like if you're on a Raspi Blitz, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if you're on a Raspi Blitz, you should be able to download, the repo. You should be able to clone the helipad repo to your Raspi Blitz. Compile it, and I believe you should just be able to run it without specifying anything,
mm-hmm.
Because your local host is going to be where the Raspi Blitz LND node is listening, and the LND paths are the same as they are in the umbral, I think.
Mm.
So that'll be a good thing for somebody to try that has a Raspi Blitz, is download it, see if it'll just run right out of the box. If it won't,
yeah, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The most you should have to do is just maybe tweak. You would have to save your admin.macaroon and your TLS.cert to that folder. But anyway, lots of fallbacks. It should be very flexible. You know, anybody who kind of understands a little bit about the way the Lightning stuff works should be able to run this without too much trouble at all.
Okay, so can I already start talking about the next version?
I mean, I expected nothing less. Yeah. Of course you can. Yes.
Please. Well, so there's a couple of this. There's a bug. There's one bug. And I believe there's someone sending streaming payments, and I think they're coming through as boostergrams. And it's like one sat amounts. That's not a boostergram or a boost.
It's coming through in the helipad UI?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
Is it the same app every time?
It doesn't tell me which app, doesn't tell me who it is.
Well, now that's really weird.
Hold on. Let me just check. Hold on.
Huh. I wonder.
Yeah. No, it doesn't give me an app listing. It doesn't tell me who it's from, and it just has an amount, and it tells me the podcast that it was for.
Which podcast was it for?
No, Curry and the Keeper.
Huh. Well, that's odd.
Right? It's a miss. Anyway, so that's something we need to troubleshoot. We'll get into that. So something's wrong there.
I need your database is what I need.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you just have my whole node, man? Just take all my money.
Just send it to me. Just box it up and ship it to me.
I'll zip it. I'll zip up my whole node.
Zip it.
It's just a CSV. I mean, there's all kinds of fancy interface shit we can do. Give me a CSV file so I can just use that to sort and to use for show purposes.
Okay.
Right now, this is the dream. You know, this is the, oh my God, look at the shit coming in. But then I just want to be able to export to CSV, load it up, and then manipulate it from there. Because, you know, it just makes no sense to me to spend a lot of interface work on, at least right now, so people can sort that for a show. I mean, and anyone can do those. I would expect other people to be doing that, actually.
Oh, I would think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So congratulations, man. So now, did you submit it?
Thanks. Yeah, submitted it this morning.
So how long will this take now before
I have no idea.
Shows up in their store? That should be. And then when it shows up, I presume I'm going to uninstall my current version and then upgrade. Install this one, right?
Yes, that's right. And so the way that the Umbral stuff works is you submit, you package it as a, what do you say? How would you say that? Compile. You compile a Docker image or build a Docker image. Build a Docker image with the executable in it, upload it to Docker Hub, then you build a Docker Compose file which references that image on Docker Hub, and you submit that in your pull request. You submit that Docker Compose file in your pull request to Umbral. And so the next time that they do an official Umbral release, I guess it would be like maybe 5.0.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think they're, okay. That Docker Compose file will be in their apps directory.
And then when you start up, it sees the YML goes, okay, got to load a new container.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that for now, they said that they're working on a way to independently install apps that are like out of cycle of their own release cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good because you won't have to wait for a new release. So whenever they do another Umbral release, that's when the app will be available.
Good. Well, they seem to be doing about a release a week these days.
Oh, is it that fast? Okay.
Well, they've got some.
I'm still 4.8.
They have so many. No, it's. I think it's 4.9. I haven't upgraded yet, but they have so many bugs. Okay. It says 0.49 available. Upgrade now. I'm like, no, I've got to look at the Telegram channel if you don't mind for a second. Let me see what horrible stories are there. Lost my channels. Yeah. Lost 4 Bitcoin.
Crap. No. Is that? Tell me that's not true.
Now there was a security issue, and I had uninstalled ThunderHub because I saw what was going on. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So you install the ThunderHub app from the App Store, and then it gave everybody the same default password, which was money printer go brr.
I saw that.
So if someone somehow had gotten your you know, if you open that through Tor, and that Tor communication leaked out, which I hear is what happened, you know, there was some leaky Tor stuff. Then if anyone has that exact URL, they already know the password. And so people drain some wallets.
Oh,
and then the solution that they had is now when you start up, that was the 4.8 upgrade, I think. When you fire up the container, it hashes and creates a unique password for your install.
Okay. Well, that's the way to do it. That's the correct way to do it. Yeah. Well, I see that I must be on 4.8 because mine says 4.9 is now available to install. Should I install it now?
No, let's not do that. I had a nice. So I'm here to tell you that not a single one of these podcast device makers has their head on straight.
Okay,
and so it's getting progressively device, right? Yes, it's getting progressively worse. I've been looking all over. I'm always on top of stuff. I'd actually kind of missed the release of this particular box, the Antelope Audio Synergy Go. which looked so promising. I mean, and so it's in essence another audio interface with a mix, a software mixer, and you can set up all the things I need: noise gate, compressor, limiter, EQ, etc.
That's a very pretty box.
And what's nice about it is these are all modeled plugins. So you can use like a Neve compressor, and they've modeled in software the Neve compressor, and you buy it. Now it comes with 37 plugins included. So there was enough.
Just not the ones you want.
No, it was absolutely the ones I want. But once again, these assholes have introduced the concept of the loopback interface. This is the biggest mistake, because you cannot process the total signal going into your USB chain. And I thought this one you could reroute and you could do it. So the concept is, on my microphone, I have no EQ, noise gate, compressor, limiter. And then on clean feed, which I get from you, I have the same. And, you know, that's where a lot of my sound comes from. And there's a very light compressor limiter over the clips just to make sure I don't have to do too much fading. And then over the end signal, the master mix, there I can also put in different signal processing, such as compressor limiter. And you need to have some final processing before it goes into your headphones, before it goes into the recording device, etc. And why, none of them can do this. Tell me
why. So why do, if your compressor limiter and noise gating all the inputs, why do you need that? Why do you need the same thing on the output side?
Well, okay, this is audio production law. Okay. It's in the audio production constitution. Compression and sound limiting is not just for levels, which is how it's always explained. So you don't overmodulate. When you really when you pump something in there at a 3-to-1 ratio, you can really start to create an effect, and then that affects how your EQ is put in, and that's how you make sound. And it doesn't matter if it's a podcast or in the studio. I mean, this is why you do this. So then you have all these sources and you want to create a nice, luscious mix of those. And it's not just about the volume levels, the audio levels. It's how the processor itself starts to intermingle these different sources. So I'm very partial to a FET compressor limiter in a very, very slow mode on the total signal. Anyway, as I've gone through all these boxes now, and this one, actually, I am going to keep this one because I'm hooking it up to my theremin so I can make it sound like an electric guitar. So, and I'm going to put the auto tuner in there, you know, I'm putting the auto tune in there. Oh yeah, you wait. I'll be playing fucking Beethoven before you know it. and Led Zeppelin
solo for Freebird.
No, you wait. By the next board meeting, I'll be able to do Freebird. And so I'm keeping it for that. But then I'm like, you know, I got the bug, right? I want better, more. What can we get? So I go to Motu. I use a Mark of the Unicorn Hybrid Mark IV, which has been discontinued. They now have the Hybrid Mark V. And lo and behold, it's like they're all using the same chipset from China, which I'm sure they are. And it does not, you can no longer, because they've, oh, we have loopback. So this mix that you can send it straight to USB. Yeah, but I need to process it first before it goes into USB. And they remove that.
Let me get this straight. That their next generation, you have the Motu 4, which does this.
Yes.
And their next generation replacement for the Motu 4, the Motu 5, removes this feature.
Yes. And what they did is they okay, so this device was really meant, even the Mark IV was really meant for different mixes in a live environment or studio. So you can have a stage mix, you can have a monitor mix, you can have the the mixer's mix. You have all these different mixes, and you can process all those mixes and all those outputs. But what the Mark IV does is it allows you to send a mix to a bus. So you basically have a submix, and then you can use that submix in another mix. So it's recursive. So, and so in my case, I would be sending my microphone mix, to a bus, and that bus receives other inputs from you and from the players. And then it has some processing, and that bus goes into the USB. And you can do that with the Mark IV, but now they no longer allow the routing. They've tried to make it simple. So it's still basically a stage monitoring device, but now they've seen the light. It's like, oh, and we've added a loopback interface, which means they've removed the busing concept and they've just given you a way to send a mix to a USB device, but not the way it's supposed to go. And so you can't even do it. You can't even do it anymore.
You've got the Motu M4 4x4?
No, the Ultralight Mark IV.
Ultralight Mark IV, okay. Because I'm thinking what you have to do at this point is go and buy two more of those off eBay, stick them in the freezer just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to have a plan B.
You got a good point there, brother. Yeah,
because if they've discontinued this thing, you're screwed.
Maybe I just buy them all up for cheap, and then I resell them completely configured, Podfather approved, little magic marker signature, little white Sharpie on there, for $1,000.
the signature. No, that's
Podfather's exactly signature model is just some white Sharpie on an old Motu.
Can you put a podcasting 2.0 certified badge on it?
Oh yeah, like badge. Stickers.
Of
course.
Yeah. No, this is a genius plan. I like this plan.
But it's really discouraging, and I understand there's not many people who do live shows, and all these boxes are great if you just want to have a couple people chatting, and the Tascam does some kind of compression. It fails. All of it fails. You can't make the sound.
I can't reproduce your sound. No. So see, I've got this Audient Evo 4. That's my box,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great box. It's quite. I mean, it's got all the audio. All the audio stuff is high quality in there. So like, I mean, it's got a low noise floor on the preamps and all this kind of stuff. But I can't reproduce your. I could not run the show. I have to depend on you to run the show because I can't get what you do from my side because this box just won't do it.
No box will do it. This is the only box that can do it.
Yeah.
That has enough capability to actually run the show. You know, I have multiple sources. Sometimes I want to play something off of a YouTube or whatever. So I can bring all that in. My theremin. I wouldn't even be able to do half of that stuff with these other boxes. They don't even have the inputs.
Well, I mean, the idea that nobody's come out with a Podfather branded unit.
I can't even get free evaluation units. What are you talking about? These people are nuts. I don't get it. I mean, I'll take $10 a device and I'll tell you how to do it. Everyone's close enough, but you got to get the right chipset. Everyone's working off the same stuff and the same dumb concept.
Well, this is the same problem as what happened to you before the show, and your monitor, your USB-C monitor would not, or USB monitor wouldn't work.
No.
And this is the tip for anybody who,
yes. And I'm running a Surface Pro 6 with a dock.
Yeah. And this applies to all USB docks, all of them. If you have a USB-C or Thunderbolt dock, they almost all use the exact same chipset. I haven't found one yet that doesn't. And so what happens is with multiple external monitors, you'll come in and boot up your rig one day and either one of your monitors will not work or more usually none of them will work.
Yeah, it's a fave. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anything attached to the dock just refuses to work.
Mm-hmm.
Any monitors. And a lot of times, if you look really closely, especially if you get like in dark mode and you get a black background on your screen,
yeah,
when it's doing this, you'll see little speckles of pixelation. It's very slight, but you'll see there's something this chip does that freaks out.
Oh. So
the only way to fix it is power everything down, pull power from the dock and for about 20 seconds, and then plug it back in.
It's funny because that same thing always fixes my cable modem.
It does. Yeah. It's the universal fix. Yeah. Turn it off and on again. But you have to pull power. You can't just reboot. You have to pull power.
Yeah. Well, I did, and it works. Thank you. Because I was a little frustrated with that. After
once a week at the office.
Yeah, there's still, and you're still coming through the onboard speaker. I have no idea why.
That's just because my voice can't be stopped.
Yeah, yes, that's right. The pod sage slips us through every crack.
Yeah, it wants to come out everywhere. Did you speaking of music stuff? Mm-hmm. I had this last show, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and I was And then Podland yesterday, I'm not done listening, but they had an interview with this lady who does
the music licensing lady. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. And so I had printed this out. Where is this? To talk to you about this anyway.
Oh, you have notes, I see.
I got too many notes. Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift, you know, she's doing that thing where she's re-recording her music.
Mm-hmm.
And this article says, a new report from the Wall Street Journal claims that Universal have been setting up new agreements with its artists, which, according to the report, quote, effectively double the amount of time that the contracts restrict an artist from re-recording their work, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, this is like a response to her thing. And this, and it says, Taylor Swift said this. This was the second time my music had been sold without my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Swift said. The letter told me that they wanted to reach out before the sale to let me know, but that Scooter Braun had required, I think that's the guy who mm-hmm. owns her music,
mm-hmm.
had required that they make no contact with me or my team or the deal would be off. Swift's statements claim that Braun will continue to profit from her catalog, quote, for many years. So I guess he sold it to somebody else. He sold her the rights to her music to a private equity company called Shamrock Holdings for $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, if this is true, told them not to mention it to her or else the deal would be off. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So my question to you, and I know you've explained this before, but I'm not sure if you've explained it on our show, is this whole idea of performance rights versus just the artist rights writer's rights and that kind of thing. And so in regards to podcasting, does that fall under performance rights? The reason I'm asking is because you, sometimes I hear on some of your shows, you will play, you know, a 10-second snippet of a song or so. Like, how do you handle that, and where does that legally fall into performance rights? Is that a performance right, or is that something different?
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Owning your master recording, and it truly, we're talking about the true master recording, which is, in many cases, historically, a big tape, and it's stored in a vault. That is really the genesis of all the issues. Artists typically will sign a record contract, and the record label will own the master recording. And they make agreements with the artist, how much they'll pay in royalties, et cetera, et cetera. Now, off to the side, we'll put the composer and the writer of the song. That's a separate issue. Okay. So Taylor Swift, when she did her deal with Scooter Braun, she took a deal which gave him the ownership, his company, the ownership of her music. And that means he can pretty much do with it what he wants, depending on the parameters of the deal. But it really puts the artist in the continuous backseat of what's going on. You know, it's hard to get an account. Look, the music business, they're gangsters. It started people selling stuff out of the trunk of their cars. So you really have no way to get a record deal unless you put your masters into the game. So then once you have the masters, now you have huge property rights, mainly over publishing. Yeah. So publishing falls into a whole bunch of different categories. You could even package up the songs, future earnings. I mean, you own the whole thing. So wherever this song is used, if it's on television, if it's on the radio, if it's in a podcast, but especially if copies are being made, and that's called a distribution, a mechanical right. So you put it onto something that people can take away. Those terms have had to adopt, obviously, since, we now deal with digital music. So all everything that deals with the actual product that is a derivative or a copy of the master recording is controlled by the owner of the master, typically the record company. So when you put a song into a podcast, this has been the problem for, you know, 20 years, even with streaming audio in the beginning. When you put it into a podcast and it is downloaded, anyone who owns the master will rightfully say that is a mechanical use. That is an exact copy. It's not, but an exact copy of the song, and it's now on a piece of media, so I need to get paid for that.
Gotcha.
The way they kind of got around this and the streaming world, which created just, you know, tens of thousands of playlists streaming on Icecast servers, completely boring, is the accountability factor, where you can get a license, a form of performing rights license, which would be analogous to television, using it on television or radio in a broadcast in general, because it's streaming and it is apparently not, you can't download it. So that obfuscates the download right. That the parameters around streaming are the reporting is so restrictive that you really can only run a playlist station. So you can't play two songs from the same album back to back, and there's all these things.
It's got to be a mix.
Yeah, but it's so many restrictions. You can't actually create an entertaining broadcast from it. No way. And you can't just freewheel it. It's not possible.
Okay.
Now,
that's why you couldn't have like true, open internet radio.
Not with, well, you can, but you can't have it with music that is licensed in this particular manner. So back in the pod show days, we said put up the podcast music. PodSafe Music Network, and people could who own their masters, who own their music, and there were some famous musicians who owned stuff. They could put it up there, and there was a different license. You signed the license, and it said, "Okay, I understand. I'm putting it up here. I understand that I'm letting any podcaster take this, use it in their programming, and all they have to do is report back into the network that they played it with a link, etc." And that worked pretty well. But of course, you know, everyone wants to shoehorn the old licensed content into the new system. And it's not possible. There's no incentive for anyone who owns the music to do it. Now we have the composer and writer portion. So this is a true performing right. Wherever this is played, that supposedly is going to be recorded, and then all those licensees who play something. So if I have a television station, I broadcast and I play a song for whatever reason with some sappy video over it, then that will eventually be reported all the way down the line through ASCAP or BMI, and then the artist or the composer and the writer of the song will get their pieces, and it could be more than one writer or composer. So if I play a small snippet of a song, which isn't very often, but if it was a commercial song, but even if it's a parody, this is under the fair use doctrine. And that really is only for the United States, but okay, you know, I'm sure anyone could make problems. If it is in the context of education or parody, then you can do this. But it doesn't mean that I can take a song like my buddy Mike in Pennsylvania did Mama Gonna Take My Omichrome as a joke of Kodachrome. Now, in the context of No Agenda, where we're talking about the variant and it's a parody, and we're not selling this for money, we're not Weird Al Yankovic, we are we qualify under the fair use doctrine. And okay. And we're pretty well versed in that. In fact, I'm pretty well versed in copyright in general. And I can tell you now that just listening to the Podland interview, what it took to license 67 Paul Simon songs, and that's limited. You know, it's not good. That podcast can't be around forever. They have to pull it. And then if there's any copies, they probably have to go after that and police it. It's a shit show. The only way forward is, and I think we have the solution, is getting your music on in an RSS feed and getting different player experiences out there so people can listen to music in value for value. The royalties, the distributed, decentralized digital rights system of the value block splits function perfectly for splitting up anything that comes in between musicians. There may be higher splits for the composer and the writer, and that will go in perpetuity. And it's you eliminate all the ASCAP, BMI, all this bullshit where all the money just sticks to other people's pockets and doesn't reach you as an artist. And moving forward, and Tina and I will try and do some of this in our podcast. If someone licenses their music that way, then yeah, you know, we can definitely start playing stuff. But but forget anything that is licensed through the old system. It's never going to happen. It's not.
It's untouchable.
There's billions of dollars wound up in this. Isn't that going to break it for some shitty podcasters? No.
That's why I brought it up, is because there's this potential here for, you know, obviously for people to use this streaming value for value system for their own, you know, distribution and perform and, you know, dissemination of their music and payments.
Yes.
But then I guess how limited is that though, is what my real aim is here. Because if you have a person like, Taylor Swift, she's going to have to own her own content before she herself could make the decision to do something like that with it.
Yeah, she sold her content.
She doesn't own it.
No, she doesn't own it. That's why she re-recorded her entire first three albums. Because now she owns her own recording. And she can do with that whatever she wants. Even though it may sound exactly the same as the original.
Which is crazy to me anyway, how that's even, there has to be something
that should tell you
the loophole can't be that big.
No, but this should tell you that this is entertainment, man. This is why I'm doing this. It's a shitty ass business run by psychopaths. It really is. And they don't care. And they really don't care. And it's all about money. Go look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was funny that a piece of me interviewing Tina Turner in the most recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame telecast. And,
oh, nice.
And you know what you see in the audience? I'll never go again. I went back when it was cool, man, when it cost $1,000 a plate and you had to get invited by a nominee. You know, I got invited by the Kinks. You know, now it's who was there? Lawyers. It's all fucking lawyers everywhere. I see you, lawyers. And that's what the business is. And it's all, and every artist has to sue their record company because they lie. They're thieves. They lie. And it's just what it is. And people give into it, except Kanye. People like Kanye. They figured it out. Prince, I mean, he didn't record for years to get out of his contract. And,
who owns their own content? So, like, is it really rare? Are you talking about, is it only the huge ones? Like, let's just say maybe like a radio.
No, it's only the poor ones. It's only the poor ones. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Anybody can look, you create a song, you own it. It's yours. You can register it so people know how to get in touch with you. And if you're doing that today, if you take your music to ASCAP BMI and you sign the deal, there's no place for you in podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. There's just no. Now, does that mean that you can't get played on the radio? Oh, boo-hoo! Yeah, probably. Does that mean that you won't get money on Spotify? Yeah, probably. You can carve out exceptions, but it's going to be very difficult. You kind of have to choose one or the other. You know, because if you give the performing rights to ASCAP BMI for them to collect, and you just let podcasters do stuff, they're going to say, well, screw you. We're not going to collect for you. So then you have to write an exception for every podcast, and now you're back to square one.
Yeah, so, like, what you're saying is that that Paul Simon thing that they were talking about, that can't just be an evergreen podcast. They're going it's going to have a limited run and pull it.
Yeah, and they're going to have to police copies after the after the date. Sure.
I just don't even see how that's worth it. I'm going through all the trouble. I mean, like, they're going to sell so all the money they spend. Labor.
But let's understand what's going on here. First of all, they were in the midst of selling the whole catalog. So that's always interesting for everybody, even having an interest in it. All these things are important. There's I think it was a greatest hits or a book or a collection or something was coming out. So there's a marketing budget for this. There's a reason for it. It's not just to make a podcast. It's just like, look at what are the so-called top podcasts? What are the top earning podcasts? I guarantee you the top 10 is pretty much all combined with radio. It's what iHeart is, the Sirius XM podcast. They're selling radio ads with podcast ads in a bundle.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where all the money's going. That's because that's a real measurable thing. The people who are buying the ad space, they understand radio. They're dead, but there's so much money still flowing around. And we have, we have a lot of people who are still all jacked up about, getting bought by Spotify. Well, dream on. Mm-hmm. Dream on. Well, there is a way forward. And you can go count your Spotify pennies, but I guarantee any artist, I will personally guarantee it, with my own Satoshis, you'll make more money, value for value, streaming sats, than you will on Spotify.
No, I guarantee I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, and look, because you're not getting the deal. You know, I mean, you're not getting the Rogan caller daddy deal. No. Those are going to be $100 million, $60 million, whatever. That if you're outside of that little cabal or whatever you want to, not, I don't mean that negative, but like, if you're outside of that, of those exceptional, single deals, you're not. I mean,
it's the difference. Okay, some podcasts have great reach. Call me daddy or whatever, that came from Barstool. So they had a lot of people listening. Rogan, lots of people listening. This is a metric for the old world. That's the world that Spotify lives in. Spotify lives in the metric world of royalties in the old system. And they look at numbers. How high does it have to be? They have no way to even, in their corporate brain, to consider value for value. Value for value is great because you can get this. Look, when your song is played on the radio, you get, as an artist, exactly zero. In America, 0, 0, 0. Radio has a carve out. They don't pay for playing your song on the radio. So if you do value for value and 1% of the people who are playing your song for free actually pays you, you're going to be ahead of the game, and in a big way, much bigger than in any other way. And your music will get out there.
Yeah. Well, the music as podcasts, to me, is just, it's just a no-brainer.
Well, we need a different interface, really. We need a music kind of playing interface, and it should be limited to music feeds.
Right.
So that, because, people are very simple. They will never understand, just like, let's be honest about it. Just like people don't go to Spotify for podcasts because it's there for music, very few people are going to say, oh, I'm going to check out this song in my podcast app. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, it'll happen. Right. You know, people say, listen to my song this way, but it'll be confusing. So we, well,
the same way we get annoyed by Spotify having podcasts in that yes. music app exactly. in reverse.
Exactly. But Spotify can't just retool and make a podcasting app. You have a whole bunch of reasons why that is. But for sure, any one of our developers could take what they have right now, strip it down, rejigger stuff so that, you know, how do we use lyrics in the transcript tag? This kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we use album art, liner notes? Remember liner notes? You can do it per song.
Yeah.
Per song, you can have an image. You can have a link to the liner notes. Come on, people. What? Do I have to come up with all the great ideas?
Well, this brings me back to the namespace.
Yes.
Phase 4, which closed submissions on December the 1st.
Okay.
So 2 days ago. And as of right now, the medium tag is in there.
Yes, and this would be a final. This would be an interface switching mechanism, possibly.
Yes.
So if it said medium music, is that an option?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Medium That's music, right. then the interface might change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can
sort by it and all the feeds that have music. Yeah,
filter.
Yeah, filter.
Filter
sorry.
By it, yeah. Yeah, and so like you would do a Breeze type thing, and so the Breeze app only shows value for value Lightning streaming podcasts. It does not show the entire podcast catalog.
Which so in hindsight, I think was a genius idea.
I think it was a great idea too. I was really skeptical when Roy first said that.
Me too.
And he was persistent and he knew what he wanted. And you know what? It was the right thing to do. I think.
I agree.
Especially for he knows his audience. Yep. That's the deal.
Well, but if you look at the stats, you know, the Breeze people, they boost, baby.
Oh yeah.
The Breeze people, the Breeze is constantly top with, Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always at the top of the Satoshi's flowing.
So on the namespace, it looks like what we're going to have probably, I'm going to start working on that this weekend. It looks like we're going to have live item in there.
Yeah.
Recommendations and medium is probably, and, images.
Cool.
I'm probably going to drop gateway because there's too much uncertainty about that.
Okay.
So images definitely will be in there because that Pod LP, which by the way, Pod LP, I'm trying to get Tom to come on the show with us and interview him,
mm-hmm.
The developer of that, because he's really doing some good stuff with Pod LP on that KaiOS app. And he's like, he just put in transcripts.
Oh, I know. I have a KaiOS flip phone.
Which one do you have? Is it a Nokia?
No, it's the T-Mobile sells it. Hold on a second.
Oh yeah, the super cheap one, right?
Yeah, but it like runs KaiOS and the no, it's not 20. It's at like $100. It's the Alcatel Go Flip 3. Okay, because
there's another Alcatel that's like it's almost the same, but it is super cheap. It's like $20. It's like a
it'll work Alcatel. On that too. I think it'll work on that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a great app, and so he's looking forward to the podcast images tag.
KaiOS is one of the biggest operating systems for mobile, I think, in India and a whole bunch of other countries.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it open source?
I think so. Yes, I think it is.
Is it Mozilla? I think that's a Mozilla OS.
Let me see. What's KaiOS. It? KaiOS. It was a rescue. I thought it was it's a KDE distribution.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hong Kong.
It says it's based on Firefox.
Oh, yeah, Firefox OS. Fork. Yep. Yep. Mozilla. You're right. No, it's Firefox OS.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Mozilla. That became
Linux
Mozilla.
Kernel.
Yeah, Linux kernel. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a nifty little... nifty little thing.
Yeah, so it says it is open source available. Yeah, that's so he is looking forward to the images tag, and the images tag is really just a repurposed version of the HTML5 images tag. And so it's gonna image tag.
Oh, right. I've seen the, yeah, I've seen the chatter about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can specify the, in HTML5 tag, they came up with this idea of being able to specify not just a source for the image, but what they call a source set. And so then you can have the, on the source set, it's a comma delimited, space delimited, set of image URLs. And the format is something like, you have source set equals, and then the first URL of an image, space, the dimension, and then comma, another URL, space, the dimension of that, comma. And you can just keep specifying. And so you, in that way, with one tag, you can specify potentially, you know, 8 different resolutions of an image or pixel widths of an image to deliver with the feed at the same time to allow mobile, you know, like to allow scaling up or down to whatever device screen width you're trying to deal with.
If you are listening to this podcast and you are not a developer and you're just a casual user, please note what goes into the into these small little features that software developers make for you.
Straight up. Yeah, there's so much thought that has to go into all this. And I mean, kudos to PodLP for even getting a transcript on those tiny little
screens. I know, right? Man. That's crazy.
I mean, like a Nokia 8110. I mean, that thing's like, it's like a postage stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, so I'll start probably working on that this weekend, trying to move things around, do some cleanup on this, and then we'll start. I'll start making noise about which tags need work. And then hopefully by the end of December, we'll be able to just to have a final phase 4. And I'm excited about it. I mean, because medium, to me, that's a super important tag. Got to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I got the streaming radio station guy all jacked and ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And live item. Those two things, I mean, they go together.
Hey, and I'll just say, thanks everybody for the cross app comments. That's really rocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everybody's doing it.
Everyone's doing nothing. Not really. Everyone's doing nothing. It's like, is there something wrong with the namespace, or it's too like it needs? I've read maybe it should focus just on Activity Pub and not on anything else. And people seem to be kind of not knowing which way to go, because then, oh, you could use it with Twitter, but you can do it with something. It seems like it's unclear what the direction is. And as usual, we're all looking to you.
I really don't think it's that. I don't think it's a problem with the spec. I think it's a problem with Activity Pub. And I'm not saying, when I say problem, I don't mean that Activity Pub is messed up. I just mean that a lot of people don't understand how it works. And when you first start learning Activity Pub, it's very similar to trying to learn Lightning. Lightning.
Okay. I got you.
Didn't take all, you know, the streaming payments didn't begin to get any traction with the apps until LNPay came along and made it a very simple API, a very simple process. And I think people, the first thing you do when you're looking to implement ActivityPub commenting is you go and you look for the spec. Well, you look for the spec and it sort of makes your eyes cross, because it's just, you don't know how far to go. Are we just going to display comments? Okay, well, I'm going to have to put in an entire, like, both ways here where I can post comment. I think there's just a little bit of sort of overload at the beginning when you first start to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes people sort of back off and say, well, you know what? I'm going to wait till somebody else does it and then look at what they did and try to model what I'm doing off of that. So I think what really has to happen right now is there needs to be some example code developed, maybe even in a mock podcast app, not even in a real app, maybe just some sort of mocked up app where it shows developers what to do to support it in a simplistic way.
Mm.
And I, you know, I'm willing to do it, but it would be nice if somebody else would take that job on and say, and just, you know, mock it. Well, so, I mean, John Spurlock, he's building that feed, you know, validator, mm-hmm. and he put in the ability to suck that stuff out, the ActivityPub comments and display them.
Oh,
of course, that's not an app. That's just a website. But something like that, that was open source, that shows, okay, if you want to support cross-app comments in your app, here's a little bit of sample code, maybe some Node.js code or something that's very popular, maybe something like that, or some Python code. Here's something you can do in your app, and here's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. And then, because we've already got enough, our feed is doing it, Benjamin Bellamy's feed is doing it. So we've got a couple of good test cases, sandboxes for that you could test your app against if you want to just show the comments. To me, that's a great way to start. Just show the comments, you know, as a phase one, then as a sort of 1.1 upgrade, then look into posting back and replies and that kind of thing. But even if you just show the comments, they can begin to live somewhere else on a fully compliant ActivityPub server. You don't have to do the whole shebang yourself.
Right.
I would encourage, I mean,
sounds like, to me like we,
I think that's it.
Sounds to me like we got another Umbral app coming. Okay. And that's a no from Dave. All right.
I've got other stuff. Yeah. I've got API stuff I got to do.
Oh, yes, you do.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Should we thank some folks?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was going to say, I've got to get back to...
Yes, I apologize. Apologies for the delay due to the equipment.
Oh, no, that's not a problem. No, what I'm saying is I've got to get back to working on the index.
Oh, I thought you had to get API. Back to work now. I thought you're...
No, I've got to get back to the index because we... I've been thinking about this for a while, and I need to a better pipeline. So, as soon as I can get this helipad stuff wrapped up and get a little bit of progress on the namespace, I'm going to go back into some stuff I've been putting off for a while and work on a better pipeline from the aggregators to the database.
Mm.
And I'm going to rewrite so that the aggregator is split up now into a puller and a parser, and I'm going to rewrite the puller in something other than Node.js because I hate it so much. I hate the way that it works.
Write it in C, man. Do it in C.
No, come on. No, Rust. It's all Rust.
It's all Rust.
All the way down.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, right out of the gate, Marco Arment, $500.
Yo.
Every month.
Boom.
Like clockwork. Thank you, Marco. And that was a PayPal donation. Cut bucks.
That is incredibly helpful.
That's it.
And we're glad we have you as a part of the Podcasting 2.0 family.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of something that I was going to talk about last time, which was if you are asking podcast app developers for us to support Podcasting 2.0 features, don't be a dick. Like, just ask them. And
yeah, didn't we talk about this? I think we talked about it before we left on vacation.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember if we did or not.
Yeah, I think we did.
But, maybe not. I'm just a gentle reminder. Don't be a jerk. Because, like,
yeah, no, I'll tell you what not to do. Hey, man, if you don't put this podcast in 2.0 in your app, I'm going to never use your app again. I'm going to delete it.
Yeah.
It's not cool. It's not a good way to get something done.
Yeah, and don't go leaving like one-star reviews and stuff. I mean, it's just don't do that.
But every single app developer listens, a good one, listens to their users. And if enough users say, hey, I'd really love to see this. And that's kind of, I think, you know, I'm not a developer, so you tell me, but I think someone saying, hey, have you heard about this? I'd love to see this in the app. Isn't mm-hmm. that kind of all you need to do? Because you don't need to do any more convincing, because once there's 100 of those, that's when a developer goes, oh, you know, I should look at this.
Okay. Every developer has of a customer-facing app is going to be is going to balance their workload amongst different priorities. Sometimes the priority is, I've had a lot of people ask for this thing, and so I'm going to do it. Sometimes the priority is, I've had nobody ask for this thing, but I think it's so cool that if I put the time in and put it into my app, everybody's going to love it.
Right.
Sometimes it is, I see a problem on my side that you don't see, a structural problem in the way that my app is built or my service is built. And I really need to get down to brass tacks and spend a couple of months or a few months fixing this thing before it bites me and you in the butt.
Right.
Another possible thing is, there's a new thing coming out that I need to get up to speed on, and I'm going to have to take time to do that before it bites me as well. So something like, for example, something like moving from Objective-C to Swift. A lot of Apple developers have had to make that transition over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm spending a lot of time learning Rust because it's a language that I want to spend more time in these days.
Mm-hmm.
It takes hours. It takes time. And that's my priority. So anytime that you're dealing with a developer, it's going to be usually one of those four things that are taking up whatever amount of his or her time is currently being spent. And for you to get in there and just start being a jackass about it, it's not going to get you any sympathy whatsoever, because any sympathy that you would have is already there. It's built into the system. And when somebody emails me and says, hey, I really want this thing, I always tell them, oh, I'd love to do that for you. I'll do my best. I'll put it on my to-do list. And it does go on the to-do list, but I can't tell you when that thing's going to be. I just can't.
Well, that's all very disappointing. Yeah. Get anything done. Can't get anything out of you developers. Nothing ever.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
Okay. No, just be nice. That's really the
thing. It's not hard to be nice. Doesn't take a lot of effort.
That was our only PayPal donation.
All right, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, our only single donation. We got monthlies.
Oh, okay, and we have boostergrams, hopefully.
Oh yeah, we got boostergrams.
I mean, I love the transition to the digital digital version of value for value. But you know, your numbers are lower than what you used to do with PayPal. Just saying. Yeah. We're okay. But you know, this is all liquidity for the whole system. So,
well, Kyle Abear, he gave us a baller boost of 100,000 sats.
Holy
podcasting!
Baller!
Whoa!
Caller 20 is Blaze on the Impala.
Man!
Knocked the microphone over. Fell out of the Impala at the same time.
Nice.
Kyle Abear, his podcast is The Intergalactic Boombox. Go listen to it.
Mm-hmm. He promotes the heck out of podcasting 2.0. It's great.
He does. He loves us. He says, I just shat some sats to two cool cats. Crinkle the paper, Dave. We need that weekly ASMR injection.
Shat some sats. I hadn't heard that one. I like it.
Awesome, Kyle. Yeah, his show is great. Yeah, everybody should go listen to it. Thank you, buddy. See, Anonymous. Oh, we got an Anonymous boost through Breeze. And it just says, showing my son how to boost.
All right.
Boost!
1,000 sats.
Very cool. Nice. Thank you.
Abel Kirby sent us 5,000 sats.
Nice.
And he says, that's the CurioCaster. He says, some time ago, Line 6, the guitar amp maker, the guitar amp maker was getting famous-ish guitar players to make branded presets on their amps, amp effects.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. A similar thing could be done for a podcast DSP. What about an effect module with a bunch of podcaster-style presets, like a picture of their face and everything? Like Nick the Rat preset could have water dripping in the background.
Okay. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm totally up for creating a branded VST plugin, value for value, programming it and testing in 2022, that is. Able.
Interesting. That's interesting.
What is that? I don't know what he's mean.
Okay. Here's what I think he means. So VST plugins is an architecture in audio devices. It's pretty open at this point, I think. So you could have an audio player, and you know you can load different effects in that. You can do all kinds of things, but you could also load a value for value plugin that would, in essence, fire off sats from a wallet to wherever it needs to go.
Oh, that's weird. So VST is sort of like an open G. It's like the OpenGL of audio.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I mean, this is VST plugins. You've used them before, and you can get compressors limited. Yeah, so it's just an application. So I think that's what he means. I like the idea.
I like it too. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Dreb Scott gave us 10,000 sats.
Oh man, Dreb.
And he says, "I want my MTBE. What was that? What did that
meantime, stand for? Meantime between episodes, baby.
Oh, that's right.
Tina says in the car to me, that's not his real name, is it? I said, here's the cool thing. I don't care. He's Dreb Scott. He's going to be Dreb Scott for now, for the rest of our days. You can't tell me his name is Pete. That's not going to work. It's Dreb.
Dreb Scott, comma, chapter guy.
Chapter architect. There you go.
Kyron Down gave us 1,123 sats, and he said through Podfriend. He says, not to worry, Adam. I usually hit record as soon as the initial pleasantries are done with. Only meant that I would clarify small things, how long we'd go for.
Oh, ask about any small personal details. Yeah, my interview is today.
Okay. Just so you're not coming in completely blind. So have you already done it? Or
No. It's 4 o'clock today. 4 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that was a pleasurable experience.
He's like, I really want to ask you different things. You've been interviewed so many times. I'm like, okay, let's see if he comes up with something different.
He's a good interviewer.
I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Aerostatica gave us 2,376 sats.
Nice.
And he says, boostergrams for Italia.
Oh yeah. Oh, we need an Italian boostergram. We have France, French.
And now, as the French say, it is time for le boost.
We need an Italian boost.
We'll get
Did you hear
can
that
you get Willow? Can you get Willow to do it?
Oh, of course I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Franco, he can do it. He's a podcaster.
Franco, what a horror, man. He went right on Podland after he was on marketing whore, Franco.
Well, I knew that...
you knew he was scheduled?
Yeah, I knew that Sam was trying to get him on the show, and I was like, man, if they scoop us, I'm going to be so pissed.
What I liked is his story was so similar. The way he explained stuff, and it was very interesting to hear him... retell most of the, he had other things, but most of the story was good. But I was just laughing. I'm like, no, man, seriously?
We got him first, guys. Read him and wait.
Competition. We're all competing for the same girl.
Yeah. Cass Peeland, 3,300 sats through Fountain, and he just says, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Cass. Is Cass Peeland, is that Dutch?
Could be Dutch, yeah. Is it K-A-S?
Yeah, K-A-A-S.
Oh, no, that may not be.
Okay.
Or is it K-E-E-S? You sure it's an A and not two E's?
Yeah, it's A. It's K-A-A-S and then P-E-E.
Oh, K-A-A. This is horrible. That's Kaas. That means cheese.
In Dutch?
Yeah, K-A-A-S is Kaas. Oh. It's cheese. And what's the last name?
Peeland, P-E-E-L-A-N-D.
Kaas.
Peeland.
Cheese Peeland. All right, man. Cheese Peeland. He will never be boosting again. That's for sure.
Is that
Cheese Peeland?
What's the Peeland of Dutch? Is of the Netherlands?
Dude,
Rotterdam.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to tell you off air why that is very funny.
Okay.
it's no longer for public discussion.
Thank you, Cheese. B. Mossy sent us 5,453 sats, and he says
these are good numbers. Thank you.
Through Fountain, he says switching apps again as my new podcast app has frozen in playback as at 54 minutes and 53 seconds.
Oh no! Oh no!
I like this though. Give us a play by play of all the bugs in your podcast.
Yes.
App as boosts.
Yes. As boosts. Exactly. Great idea.
John's BRT says gave us 4,900 sats through Fountain, and he says shout out Commodore 64.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The Sinclair ZX1 salutes you.
I forgot who was the CEO of Commodore, that famous guy.
Oh, I don't remember. Was that Scott? That wasn't Scully before Apple, was it?
No, no. Let's see, Commodore 64. Let's see what the Wikipedia says. His name is like on the tip of my tongue.
Jack Tramiel? No.
I don't see 1984.
Ben van Veijen, a Dutch guy. They've been around a long time.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like with the height of their, you know.
Well, I remember the VIC. The VIC 20, man. I love that machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were a VIC 20 guy. See, I was a little bit later than that. I was the 64 in the 64 right. era.
Yeah, this was the this was an 8K, I think. It was. I'm trying to think.
Like
who came in as the CEO? You sure it wasn't Tramiel? I thought that was the guy.
It may have been. Yeah, it may have been.
Or around the Radigan, maybe. Matt Radigan. Thomas Radigan. That was when the Amiga came out.
Oh, no. This would have been totally in the C64 days. And this is the guy that let him down. Like, let him down the wrong path into the... I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm No Genius sent us 1,611 sats, and he says, go podcasting.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us to convert. Go podcasting! Let's see. I can't wait for us to convert over to Satoshis as the main currency. It's a maximalist. Right, I would be very wealthy if we value it one for one with fiat. Yeah, won't we all?
Well, that's why now is the time to boost us because, Bitcoin is in the mid-50s. This is the time to help us out.
Yeah. Comic strip blogger. Oh, comic strip blogger. Making a donation. 3,333 sats.
Okay.
What does he want? Greetings from Comic Strip Blogger. You should have read this note in the Comic Strip
Blogger. Hold on a second.
Comic Strip.
Comic Strip. He has his own jingle, you see.
Comic Strip. Comic Strip. Comic Strip Blogger. Comic Strip. Comic Strip. Comic Strip Blogger. Comic Strip. Comic Strip. Blogger.
Okay.
Blogger.
Blogger.
Greetings from Comic Strip Blogger.
Greetings from Comic Strip Blogger. I'm sorry.
To Podcasting 2.0 Podcast. And anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast called AI.Cooking. That can be found in all podcast apps and in all podcast indexes by searching for AI.Cooking. Yo! All
right. Yo!
Yeah, he gave us a yo.
Yo. Well,
AI, this is big because this means he's outing himself as the host of AI.Cooking podcast.
Yeah, he's never made a direct donation to any podcast, as far as I know. Not a direct monetary donation. He's, of course, provided years of endless entertainment for the shows that I'm involved in. Right. And I mean that sincerely. He's a legend. He's a podcast legend. Too bad Roger Smalls is gone.
Oh, Roger Smalls. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a fan, and he would follow me.
DSC?
But he would follow me, and he would do all kinds of weird stuff. And he would call in, and he'd be rooting through my trash, and it was great.
Oh, great. That's great.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Roger Smalls.
Thank you, comic strip blogger. Paul Saltzman gave us a 2222. 2222.
Yep. Yeah. Right. I know his number.
Adding to my cookbooks. Boost.
I like how you do it, Dave. Boost.
No, Sat streamer.
Sat streamer. Dreb Scott again. 30,000 sats.
Holy crap.
Boost. Boosting the donation segment because I got excited hearing David Norman's name during the monthlies. Another great show. Go podcasting.
You know, I have a feeling now.
Go podcasting!
Dreb Scott must have married rich. Because he doesn't seem to do anything except chapters for all podcasting 2.0 podcasts. The money he gets from his splits, he sends right back.
With interest.
Yeah.
Reverse interest.
I'm not quite sure. I love you, Dreb Scott. You are seriously, you've been a big part of moving everything forward. The chapter work is stellar. It makes a huge difference in promoting this.
Maybe he got in early on the reverse mortgage game.
No, he probably is a Bitcoin guy who's sitting on a couple of, you know, couple hundred million sats.
Martin from Podfriend. Hey, Martin.
Hey, Martin. Hello.
1,000 sats.
Thank you.
Of course, through the Podfriend app. And he says, Via from podcastindex.social informed me of a visual bug on the boost button. So to recreate, I am now paying the Podcast Index for the privilege of debugging Podfriend. Yes.
Boost.
I also
debugging firmly, with boostograms. It's perfect. It's the way to go.
I endorse this wholeheartedly. Yale Ostrowski sent us 3,000 sats, and he says, long live the revolution.
Yours.
That should be in French. You should say that in French. I don't know what long live is, but the revolution.
Vive la revolution.
Yes, that thing.
Vive. Okay. Oui, vive. Now, the viva would be Spanish. Vive la revolution. I don't know.
Comic strip blogger may have sent us two separate donations for $33.33, even though the message is exactly the same. So I'm going to give him two credits because he may have hit the boost button twice.
No, you know, I think I saw... No, I wouldn't have seen that. So, well, hey, thank you very much.
Boost. Exactly the same message. Thank you, comic strip blogger, even if it was on accident. Let's see. So go see his AI.cook and give it a shot. Monthly donors, Dwayne Goldie, $8.
Thank you.
Paul Erskine, $11.14, always with the same amount. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Christopher Reamer, $10. Jordan Dunville gave us $10. Stu Coates, Satan himself, gave us $6.66. Dreb Scott, $15. Dreb is all over the place today. Jeff Miller, $20. Leslie Martin, $2. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Aaron Reno, $5. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Droid Works, $20. Scott Jobbert, $12. And Mark Graham, $1.
Oh, thank you all so much. This has been
Instagram.
Hey, what is Comic Strip Bloggers podcasting? And I want to put it in the show notes.
AI.cooking.
AI.cooking.
And I believe...
There it is.
I may be wrong, but I believe he's hosting on Anchor,
which of makes course me angry. He's a cheap but ass. I'm still good. Of course. Hey, I've known him for a long time. I can say these things.
Yes.
He says horrible things about me from time to time. That's our relationship. It's always been like this.
AI.cooking. Yes, it's on Anchor.
Of course
it is. I forgive you prematurely in advance.
Why do you dislike... I got a note from Megaphone today.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. You want to hear this
note? We've been putting ads on your podcast without you knowing.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. No, it was actually better than that. It was one of those, you know, hey, we got the whole database of podcasts. So, we're going to strip out all these email addresses and we're going to do a mass marketing campaign.
And I
just wonder where do you think they scrape them themselves, or is there's got to be a database now that is just out in circulation that is being resold, don't you think?
I'm sure, but one thing you can be sure of is not coming from us, because we do not publish. We have all the email addresses of every feed, but we do not make them public at all, and never will. No. That's gross, and we're never doing that. I don't want to be somebody's source for marketing garbage.
Oh my goodness, no. I might have deleted it. That's too bad. It was basically, hey, I've been listening to No Agenda and I really love it. I think we could really work with you on some. Here it is. Okay.
This is a megaphone.
This is from Allison Klein. Oh, this is even more interesting. Spotify space X space No Agenda monetization opportunities. I shall read this in the voice of Allison. Allison Klein, Publisher Solutions Associate. And she has an Allison K at Spotify.com email. Hi, Adam. My name is Allison. I work on the Megaphone business development team at Spotify! Exclamation mark. I'm super impressed by No Agenda and would love to discuss opportunities for monetization through Megaphone. In case you're not familiar, Megaphone is... Yes.
Do you think she's ever actually listened to No Agenda?
Well, I mean, maybe she missed the part where we say we have no advertisements, no commercials, no creepy money from China or other corporations. Maybe she missed that. But she says, in case I'm not familiar, Megaphone is Spotify's podcast technology platform.
Oh.
That helps creators publish, measure, and monetize their podcasts. Some of their top networks, like iHeart, Wall Street Journal, and ESPN, are using Megaphone to manage their podcasts and drive revenue for remnant ad inventory. Woo, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. By connecting... you get the scrapings left over. By connecting
with... That's the crap that you can't sell, right?
Yes,
that's
exactly. Connecting with Spotify's network of advertising partners, also known as the Spotify Audience Network. Oh, apparently, they own the audience. I'd love chance to learn more about your show and discuss a few options for monetization. Let me know if there's a good time connect, or feel free to grab some time on my calendar. Oh, wait, there's a link. who does this? Welcome to my scheduling page. Please follow the instructions. Oh, my goodness. We should follow up and put it on the show.
we should interview on the show. And see if we can sell our remnant podcasting 2.0 inventory.
Jeez.
So is that what remnant remnant on radio is the like 3 o'clock in the morning stuff, right?
Yeah, this is, I think this is, so you have spots left. Basically you can't fill your ad slot. So I need to find something. And then they have some drivel that, is going to be low quality advertisers, and it'll probably be a very low CPM.
Oh, like Sham Wow Guy or something like that.
That would be infomercial, but no, just who knows? Just cheap shit. Just cheap shit. Gotcha.
We should sell it. We should sell some podcasting 2.0 inventory slots.
No.
We should see what Megaphone can do for us for our monetization strategy.
Yeah, well, not everything in the world is about monetizing. See the job we're doing here.
Yeah, right. Some of it's about poverty.
Yeah. Do we have anything else for our board meeting here before everyone files out and grabs a coffee and a donut on the way out?
Well, I've got some really funny stuff about NFTs.
Oh, okay.
And how stupid that thing is, but let's do it next week.
Okay, because that'll give Brian of London some time to get ready to take notes to excoriate you.
Well, what he'll do is he'll code up a Hive to NFT gateway or some crap that like takes in Bitcoin and shoots out NFTs on the other side.
I gotta tell you, man.
He'll be running on his mom's laptop.
There's two people who keep yammering at me about NFTs. One is Comic Strip Blogger. And the other one is Mo. Mo's like, there's something here. I want to do something with this. Okay.
Okay, let's talk about it next week because once you hear how this stuff happens.
Oh, yeah. No,
you won't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, we'll do that next week. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for sticking around and waiting a little bit for the board meeting due to technical difficulties. We'll be back again. next Friday. We'll do it once again. Give you the latest from podcastindex.org, the namespace, and the socials. See you then, everybody.
Listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Bombshell.
Boost.
Baller.
Go podcasting.